Thank you, be seated. I want to welcome you here this morning to the Second Court of Appeals. Before we begin, I want to introduce the panel to you. To my left is Justice Elizabeth Kerr. To my right is Justice Lee Gabriel. I'm Bonnie Sutter, the Chief Justice of the Court. I understand the attorneys have checked in and they're all ready. If the clerk would please call the case.
The court will now call Keith Morgan et al. Versus Dallas Aeromotive Inc. et al. And may it please the court, Mr. David George to argue for the appellant, Mr. John Murray to argue for the appellant.
You may begin.
May it please the court. My name is David George, and I represent the Morvant family. There is no appellate jurisdiction in this case because the trial court has not yet issued a final judgment. A final judgment is one that disposes of all claims of all parties. The trial court's judgment did not dispose of the Morvant family's claims against Defendant International Governor. Instead, those claims are still pending. This court, therefore, should dismiss this appeal for lack of appellate jurisdiction.
Now, wasn't there at least some layman Harkon language in that order that would indicate that the court intended it to be final?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Well, I think that I'll say there's not language that tracks what the Supreme Court said in Harkon.
Because it doesn't say inappealable.
No, not that reason, because it never says the claims are dismissed. What the argument says is that this was an agreed dismissal after a settlement with the Rasmussen plaintiffs and the other plaintiffs and the defendants. The court said those claims are dismissed with prejudice of the plaintiffs, which is appropriate after a settlement, of course. And then it said, this is a final judgment as to all claims in all parties. Now, the problem with that is, under the Lehman-Harkon, the Supreme Court has said that, again, a final judgment disposes of all claims. But the fact that it says it's final doesn't make it final. What makes a case final is if it actually disposes or indicates an intent to dispose of the claims.
And so doesn't that language indicate the court intended to dispose of all parties and claims?
Not under Harkon. Harkon uses specific language where it would say that it never said it intended to dispose. All it said, the only ones that were disposed were the plaintiffs.
But the order says all parties and claims.
No, it doesn't, Your Honor. It says we dispose of the plaintiffs' claims, and then it says this is a final judgment as to all claims of all parties. Saying a judgment is final doesn't make it final. Nor does saying a judgment is not final make it not final.
Lehman pretty much says saying a judgment is final makes it final, and just because the word dispose is not in there, isn't that just semantics?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, to be honest, it is all semantics. We're talking about the language used, and that is semantics. The Supreme Court has been very clear. Now, and the key point is, if you happen to dispose of all claims of all parties, regardless of whether you knew you did or you intended to, by, for example, a severance or some other thing, it's a final judgment. Regardless if you say it, regardless if the judge thinks it. Similarly, if the judge says, this is a final judgment, but a claim is pending, it doesn't matter. Now, if the judge says, for example, there's a summary judgment on plaintiffs brought two claims. Defendants move for summary judgment on one, not the other. The district court gets confused, perhaps, and says, I hereby grant summary judgment on both claims and dispose of them. That's final, that's appealable, and it's erroneous. But those are different issues. Here, saying this is final doesn't make it final. If they had said, we hereby dispose of all claims of all parties, that would have been, and I agree, this is a somewhat technical, but the Lehman v. Harkon, what we're dealing with here.
Well, in Lehman, they suggested, and I'll read the exact language, if the appellate court is uncertain about the intent of the order, it can abate the appeal to permit clarification by the trial court. Why shouldn't we do that?
I listed that as an option, Your Honor. I said that you could abate, that was one, to abate the appeal, and we filed our motion, or no, I believe we called it a notice of lack of appellate jurisdiction. An abatement to go back is an acceptable, or a dismissal. It's important to remember, what we're talking about here is this court's jurisdiction. And without a final judgment or a statute allowing an interlocutory appeal, one is not allowed. This court has no jurisdiction. All doubts must be resolved against jurisdiction because, of course, this court can even raise it sua sponte, can be raised at any time. This court, as all the courts in Texas, are very guard jealously, make sure that they're not taking cases that aren't properly before them.
Let me ask you this. In the motion to strike the intervention, the movement asked that the plea and intervention, the whole plea and intervention be stricken.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that was granted. And after that, your parties did not participate in this proceeding whatsoever, which seems to indicate they felt like the intervention, including their claims, had been granted. That was an order disposing of your party's claims in this case, was it not?
Well, two points to that. That was only a motion by Dallas Air Motive. International Governor made no such motion.
But Rule 60 says it can be by any party.
I've not seen any authority that they've cited or that I've found that says that when one party moves for it, any party can move for it, but that would be struck as to others. So that if, for example, there were 20 defendants and one defendant moved, that the other 19 who are like, no, we want it here, or we're neutral on it, would not be there. I've not seen any that discuss in this context. I think that's actually something the district court noted. This was a rather odd procedural posture. But
in context, you didn't participate in that proceeding after that point.
Well, Your Honor, Dallas Air Motive, clearly it was struck as to them. International Governor at that point was on appeal. That as to, they had filed a special appearance as to the Rasmussen's claim, the underlying claim. It was denied. They appealed. This court was handling the appeal. In fact, part of the settlement was to have this court, you dismiss the appeal based on settlement. They have met the International Governor had filed a special appearance as to our claims. It was never set for hearing, and then the case, the rest of it, resolved. But
so you could have gone back in and asked for a hearing on that, couldn't you?
I don't know. Perhaps, but that's not the point. These are not one. You can't, just as one cannot waive jurisdiction, and to be honest, you know, I was confused about this at the beginning. In the brief, I had said I thought there was a final judgment. I apologize for that. As I read it further, I realized due to this oddity of the way it happened, there was not. But the fact that the trial counsel could have done something or didn't do something is not really relevant to the analysis, because the analysis here is, did the district court dismiss it? And looking at Harkon, the Supreme Court says that the intent to finally dispose of the case must be unequivocally expressed.
Where's the equivocation in this record?
Pardon me?
Where's the equivocation in this record?
There's not necessarily equivocation. It's just nothing was ever said that they were disposing of the claims against the International Governor. The court said, I'm disposing of the Rasmussen claims. And then it's final. The court apparently thought that was all that was there. But it intended no intent to just say this is final. If they said I dispose of all claims, yes. But by saying it's final, that we go back to the era of the, you know, Mother Hubbard.
But didn't the trial court's language, I don't have it in front of me, I'm going on memory of what I read,
yes, Your Honor,
say all parties and claims?
What the order said, and this is at page 523 of the record, the courts received the motion to dismiss. It's ordered, adjudged, and decreed that all claims asserted by the plaintiffs against defendants are dismissed with prejudice. So Rasmussen, everybody dismissed. We already know Morvan family, Dallas Air Motive, struck. But we still have hanging Morvant Family International Governor. Then it goes to...
Bond is saying what?
Then it says, this is a final judgment as to all claims and all parties.
All claims and all parties.
But the point, though, is, yes, that part is good for the thing, but you can't just say it's a final judgment. They have to say...
Lehman says even if somebody gets dismissed or gets unintentionally, it's still...
Of course. Of course. If you happen to dispose, and we see this in a... We've done some summary judgments, and then one party non-suits, there's a severance. There's never a document that says this is a final judgment. Unlike the federal system where you're supposed to do that, we don't have that here in the Texas system. But once all claims of all parties are dismissed, we have a final judgment, deadlines run, et cetera. Here, if the court had said, we dismiss, because they said we dismiss very specifically, plaintiffs, defendants. They said all claims of all parties, yeah. And once they say, this is a final judgment of all claims of all parties, that indicates the court thinks it's a final judgment, but we know that's irrelevant. Whether the court thinks it or doesn't think it, it doesn't matter. It's whether the court has actually disposed of them or indicated an intent to dispose of them.
Unequivocally. So where's the equivocation?
Because
in the language of all parties, all
because
claims.
The court must dismiss. All the court said is made a statement.
This is final.
This is a final judgment. That's not doing anything. That's just making a statement that may be true or may not be true. Not true here. The law, the Supreme Court uses in Harkon, and you know, and I agree, this is technical, and this is, I'm not going to use the word magic words, but the Supreme Court was clear that the court must show through some language, doesn't have to be magic words, but must show not an intent to have a final judgment, but an intent to dismiss all claims. And just as if in the old days, when if a court put in at the bottom of an order, you know, all relief not granted is denied on just some random discovery motion, people are saying, oh, that's a final judgment. And you know, the court, no, we're going to look back and look a little more careful at it. And to have a final judgment, it must indicate an intent to dispose. And here, the language is, it must be an intent to finally dispose of them. I agree. I think it may be close, which caused some confusion on our end. But we want to, I think the Supreme Court wants us to police this boundary strictly, because what we don't want to do is get in situations where people can't tell. And if we require it to be unequivocally, they've either disposed of them all or say, I'm intending to dispose of them all, we have a final judgment. When here they say, I'm intending to dispose of some claims, and now it's a final judgment, based on maybe a misunderstanding, a confusion because of the odd procedural posture, it would not be. So.
Well, even if they've used the language disposed, you'd still be arguing that it didn't dispose of their case because the motion to dismiss didn't have anything to do with your clients.
Those are two different points, Your Honor. Yeah, if the court...
We don't need to go there. I'm just...
No, but if the court had said we dispose of it, it would be... A court can come in on the first day of it gets a case and say, I hereby dispose of all claims of all parties. Sua sponte. That's a final judgment. It's error. Y'all would reverse it, but it's final. So that's why those are different. If the court had said, I'm disposing of all claims, including all intervener's claims against all defendants, then we would not have a question of, is this final, is it not final? We would have a question, is it erroneous, is it not erroneous, which are very, very different questions. But I think with that, I agree this is a difficult issue. I don't think that this is one where you can say it's a slam dunk. Obviously, it's not. But that the test here is, did they unequivocally do it? You know, if this is a jurisdictional issue, which, of course, this court takes, will not assume jurisdiction when it's not properly there. And given the odd procedural posture, given the language that said they were disposing of claims, some claims, and no language saying we dispose of all claims, merely making a announcement that something is final is insufficient. I believe that have no other questions, I reserve my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I'm John Murray on behalf of Dallas Air Motive and International Governor Services, the appellees in this matter. This case, I believe you will agree, is in a rather unique procedural posture because of the things that went on in the trial court. And we certainly agree with appellant's counsel that if there's no jurisdiction here, then that is a problem. What we do not agree with is that there is a lack of finality in the court's order that was issued disposing of this case. Justice Gabriel, I think you hit the nail on the head directly when you pointed out that after the appellant's intervention was stricken, they did nothing in this case. They did not do anything. They took no action. They did not attempt appellate remedies via mandamus. They did absolutely nothing. Essentially, and factually, legally, they were no longer in the case. So they now raise the issue that the order that they've appealed from is not final. And I think we've you've pointed out the language in the order, and it is unequivocal. It's just beyond debate, in my judgment. It says this is a final judgment as to all claims and all parties. And counsel cited Harkon. I've referred to it as Lehman. But the Lehman case is one where the Texas Supreme Court really dissected the issue of finality of a judgment. And it said... a judgment issued without a conventional trial, and that's the case here. There was no trial in this case. The case resolved by way of settlement. A judgment issued without a conventional trial is final for purposes of appeal if and only if it either it actually disposes of all claims and parties then before the court. And I think that's the operative language here. That's very important because at the time that this case was dismissed, the Moravant parties were not before the court. Their intervention had been stricken, and they took no further part in this case, and they did nothing to further the progress of the case. And the Lehman court goes on to say, regardless of the language, or it states with unmistakable clarity that it is a final judgment. And the order that's appealed from, the order of dismissal, does both. It states with finality that it is final, and it says that it disposes of all claims and all parties to this case. In my judgment, the book should be closed on that issue. But the curious thing is that throughout the pendency of this appeal, the case and this appeal, appellants took the position that it was a final order. They appealed from it as a final order. They briefed it as if it were a final order. And if you assume that a final judgment has a number of purposes legally and practically, one is to determine and adjudicate the rights and liabilities of the parties to the litigation. This order absolutely does that. The second is to give notice, to give the parties notice, to give indeed the public notice of what's happened in this case. And it does that. As a matter of fact, appellants acted on that order when they appealed based upon the date of the order. The thing that's curious to me also is where do we go in this case if this is deemed not a final order? Would it go back to the trial court? Would there be another order entered? There would be no change in the issues in this case. There would be no change in the claims of this case, and there would be no effect other than to delay, to cause judicial and quite frankly, financial burden for the parties. So I think it's very clear that the order that was entered on January 24th, 2019, by Judge Wallach was a final order and should be treated as such. Even though counsel did not raise any issues regarding the substantive nature of the intervention here, I simply will, rather than belabor the points, rely on our briefs and our papers that were filed. It's very clear that Judge Wallach appropriately considered the petition for intervention. He appropriately considered the motion to strike, and under Rule 60, it's very clear, I think someone pointed that out earlier, that a motion to strike can be filed by any party. The plaintiff could have filed a motion to strike the interveners here. And the purpose of that rule is to prevent uninvited interlopers in a case. They didn't have any business in this case. We've cited a number of cases that deal with the ability of the interveners to maintain an intervention action. They chose to intervene. They dismissed the case that they had in federal court prior to filing the intervention. And it just seems that since it's not been addressed, I simply will rely upon the papers that we file with respect to the propriety of the intervention. So I think that the roadmap for the court is rather clear. I think, number one, the order appeal from is final. It's a final judgment. I think it's clear that the interveners had no justiciable interest in this case. They had their own claim. They could have filed it. They did, in fact, file it on at least two occasions prior to the intervention. The intervention was not essential to preserve their rights. Judge Wallach's order, quite frankly, in this case, should be affirmed in all respects. And we ask that the court do that. Thank you.
I believe there are really two issues related to the intervention that need to be, or the final judgment issue that need to be kind of unpacked. The first one is, was the order granting the motion to strike by Dallas Air Motive, was that sufficient, and did that dispose of the claims against International Governor, which had not filed the motion? If it did, then the interveners had no claims, and there is a final judgment. If, however, I don't think we've seen any authority they've cited that says in this situation that order means that a defendant who never filed such a motion, even represented by the same counsel, for some reason chose not to join their own motion that they filed, you know, in that circumstance, that would dismiss International Governor as well. If Dallas Air Motive's motion dismissed the claims against International Governor, then there's a final judgment, because all that was left were the plaintiff's claims, and those were dismissed.
You could have argued that in the trial court, couldn't you? Trial counsel could have argued that in the trial court, that this is only filed by one of these parties, and so it only pertains to that party.
Perhaps, but I don't.
It wasn't argued.
I don't think the order was clear, so I don't think the order just says it was granted, so there was nothing in that order. But no, that was not argued, but we don't think it needed to be. But the second issue is, supposing if this court were to hold that no, Dallas Air Motive's motion did not dispose of International Governor's claim. So we're now in a world where the court says, as of after late 2018, you know, after that motion to strike was granted, we still have the claims of the Morvants against International Governor. Then we need to look at, what did the judgment say? What did the motion for entry say? And there was, as part of a settlement, there was a joint motion to dismiss with prejudice, just as to the plaintiff, the Rasmussen set of plaintiffs, against all the defendants. So, and then the order just never says we dismiss those. So I think that's the way to kind of unpack this is, you know, the first issue, if that is, If the court were to disagree with us on the first and say, no, it was disposed, then I think there was a final judgment. But if the court were to agree, no, Dallas Air Motors' motion does not dispose of international claims against the international governor, then there's really nothing in that. Well, I'm not going to use the word nothing. The court never actually says it's disposed. It doesn't actually dispose. It doesn't state an unequivocal intent to dispose. All the disposition is just as to the plaintiffs. And then it makes a statement, it's a final judgment. But we know from Harkon, just saying it's a final judgment does not make it a final judgment. You have to say you're disposing or you're intending to dispose or actually do so. If the court has no other questions, I would yield my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we appreciate your argument here today. Your case has been submitted. You are now free to leave. Thank you.